So reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 42. Pare brahmani chatmanam, param brahma tatatmani, vikshamano vihayeksham, asmat uparama, Asmad Upadalamaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. King Malyadvaj could thus observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. Please repeat after me. King Malyadvaj could thus observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests, and thus he ceased from such activities. Purport. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interest and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one. For the devotee does not act for separate interests. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. How about that? In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. Thus the so-called material world becomes spiritual, sarvam kal vidam brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord, and the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee, in his perfect vision, sees from all angles. Om jnanati mirandasya jnanjana shalakya chakshu militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Hare Krishna. So I'm very, very far from a perfect devotee, but I'm going to try to see from at least different angles. This idea of different angles, you might recall, was there in the text of yesterday's Bhagavatam. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. And then at the end of today's purport, Prabhupada repeats this idea that the very advanced devotees, she's from all angles. I didn't have time to hook up the printer and all of that, so please excuse me if I use the laptop. First, a little wake-up call, introductory wake-up call. Utista jagrata prapya varan nibodata Shurasya dara nishita duratyaya durgam patas tat kavayo vadanti. Arise, awake. Please try to understand the boon, that means the blessing, the benediction you have in this human form of life. The path of spiritual realization is very difficult. It is sharp like a razor's edge. Difficult to tread, that means difficult to walk over, and hard to cross. So say the learned sages. This is from Katha Upanishad 1.3.14. The razor's edge ideas there. So when we hear, Prabhupada makes it as easy as possible for us to understand, but there is a little bit of nuance, a little detail involved, and sometimes it's very important detail. Therefore, Prabhupada said you should study my books scrutinizingly. Scrutinize might sound like it's with a critical eye, but yes, even with a critical eye, in the sense we just heard a couple of verses ago, where Prabhupada was saying the impersonalists, they may argue that Brahma refers to impersonal Brahman, but actually refers to Parabrahman. So in that sense, critical. Anticipating what Mayavadis or big scientists, how they may react to different versions. In that sense, critical. And also, if we see apparent contradictions, it's not that we criticize, but we don't just say, oh, yeah, it's okay. No, we try to understand the adjustment. So what we'll discuss is basically six questions or topics. Number one, the advanced stage of devotional service. These are all big topics, so obviously I'm just going to touch on each one. Number two, no separate interest. I selected each of these topics because they kind of jumped out of the page in the verse and the purport. Number three, and no separate vision. I guess I added this. Everything being reconnected with its source becomes spiritualized. No more distinction between material and spiritual worlds. No more matter. Number four, what's wrong with having separate interest and or separate vision? Number five, social implications. I know it sounds impossible to cover all this in one class, but we'll try to be very real summary type of study. And the last one is knowledge means to know what is matter and what is spirit. Do we know what is matter, what is matter, and what is spirit? All right, so we'll start with the first one. There's so much Shastric reference. I think Prabhupada also already recently quoted the Uttama verse that Sarva Bhuteshu Yak Pasyad Bhagavad Bhavamatmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Yatmani Esha Bhagavato Tama. The advanced devotee, Sri Havi said, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated in the Lord. The advanced devotee, he sees, according to Prabodhananda Sarasvati, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. This is the whole material. In Bhagavad Gita, it's saying material world is Dukaliyama Shashvatam. Then in the ninth chapter, it says it's Anityam Asukam. All these words, you all understand. Temporary, full of misery, unhappy. Prabhupada says, after all, the material world is not a happy place for anyone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, it's no place for a gentleman. And as we'll be discussing, is it real or is it not real? How do we deal with that? So, the advanced devotee, however, he sees the connection between the material world and God and Krishna. Ham savasya prabhavo matak sabam pravartate. Krishna is the source of all worlds, both material and spiritual. And then everything in this world, yatak praviti bhutani sarvaniti upadaryaha aham krishnasya jagata prabhava palayastana. In the seventh chapter, after bhumirapo nalovayu and apariyamitasvanyam, explaining what is the inferior energy, what is the superior energy, but then he announces that he is the root, he is the source of both energies. Therefore, We agree with Madhvacharya line that we don't say the material world is unreal, although sometimes we say that, and sometimes it's there. But we certainly don't say it's false. How could it be false? It's like if you see a mirage in the desert, you can't say the mirage doesn't exist. There's such a thing as a mirage, and there are reasons why the mirage is there, the illusion. It may not be what we think it is. We think it's water and palm trees, and we'll be very disappointed. But there's something called a mirage. There's some phenomenon. So the material world, you might say it's like a mirage, but at the same time, if we have the proper consciousness and we don't impose material designations and think those are real, like Coca-Cola or, you know, United States of America, things I'm familiar with, then we avoid those sarvopadiva nirmuktam. If we're free from them, these material designations, then we can understand how the material world is actually real. How to get there, that's also there, this idea of intelligence. Someone was reading, I think Acharya Prabhu was reading in the Bhagavad Gita class the other day, that in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 4 and 5, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada defines, what is intelligence? Intelligence is to see everything in the proper perspective. And what is knowledge? Knowledge is to understand the distinction between matter and spirit. And another place Prabhupada says, and also to understand the origin of both. That's what we're describing at this time. So how to get there? How to see everything in the proper perspective? In Kapila Shiksha, it's very, very clear. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripashati udasinam prakritim cha hata ojasam. This is a very encouraging verse, actually. Equipped with, by devotional service, sufficiently equipped with knowledge and renunciation, jnana vairagya, one gets to the point where he actually does become intelligent. We say buddhi yoga. He becomes intelligent. He sees paripashati. He sees everything in the right perspective. Udasina. He becomes neutral or indifferent to material existence. In other words, he's not buying in, as we say in modern American language. He's not buying in. He's not investing his time and energy and his love into the maya, jagat. He's not interested in that. And very nice, prakritim cha hata ojasam. The influence of maya, prakriti, in this case apara prakriti, the influence of maya, the ojas, the potency of maya, becomes hata, becomes cut down. It's a very nice program. Practice Krishna consciousness. I think we're all experiencing, as the years go by, we're becoming gradually a little bit more free. Most time it doesn't happen overnight, but with constant practice, that eventually comes. Sanishchayena yoktavyo, yoga nivrna chaitasa. One should practice yoga with undeviating determination and faith. Very advanced devotee, that's also described, Ishopanishad, text 6 and 7. You can look it up, that he sees everything again in the Lord. He sees the Lord within everything. Hato na vijugupshate. He doesn't hate anything or anybody. How could he hate it? It's Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Actually, if anything exists, it's Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in one sense, I'm everything. 7:12. But I'm not under the modes of material nature, because they, on the contrary, come from me. Very advanced devotee, Chaitanya Charitamrita, also he sees all living entities, both moving and non-moving. How does it start? Jangama, what's the other word? Stabara Jangama Deki, Na Deke Spura Murti, Sarvatra Hayanija Ista Deva Spurti. It's not that he doesn't see everything. It's not like the advanced devotee is like needs to have a watchdog, a seeing eye dog or something to go around in the world. He can see, but he doesn't exactly focus on these external forms. Rather, he sees everything as here is my Lord's energy. And as we were hearing in the purport, for the advanced devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. We could say simultaneously different and non-different. But the more advanced one becomes, without becoming a monist, but one still is more focused on the oneness than the difference. Of course, there always has to be two. There would be no love. There would be no bhakti. There wasn't the devotee and the Lord, and also a devotional service. But he doesn't see anything. Therefore, he has no separate interest, which is an important theme of this verse. So there are so many references to what is the vision of the Uttama Adhikari, the advanced devotee. Prabhupada alludes to the Bhagavad Gita, that's 6:29 through 6:32, very clearly states, the true yogi observes me in all beings, observes all beings in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me everywhere. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, he's never lost to me and I'm never lost to him. And it goes on, a few other descriptions. It's so elevated that Arjuna, he says, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I could practice this yoga system and reach such heights. Although Arjuna was no neophyte. The second is this idea of no separate interest. This is very much emphasized in Ishopanishad. There's so much information about Ishabhasha, Ishabhashidam Sarvam, Yatkinchit Chakajatad. God is the owner and controller. Krishna or Vishnu is the owner and controller of everything. One should therefore behave in an appropriate way. One should accept only what he really needs as his quota, and not accepting other things, knowing well to who they belong. So no separate interest. Even the Christians, I don't mean to be condescending, but despite some theological flaws, some of them in many cases very serious, but still they have the right idea. I don't know exactly where it appears, but some Christian devotee is saying, oh my Lord, make thy will my will. Like that. And we have so many examples in our own Shastra. I don't have time to go into much detail with it, but in the 11th canto, there's a nice verse that says, in accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life. So say we're still conditioned. That's okay. But whatever one does with body, words, and mind, senses, or intelligence, or purified consciousness even, one should offer to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Similar to what you remember in Bhagavad Gita in 9:27, Yad Karoshi Rashna Shivas. And then it's spelled out very, very specifically in Hari Bhakti Valas, where there are six kinds of surrender. And what is the fifth? Atma Nikshepa. It specifically states that the surrender devotee, Sharanagati, he has no interest other than the interest of the Lord. So many examples we have. We hear about Lord Krishna's first son in Dwarka, Pradyumna. If Pradyumna really likes something, say a type of foodstuff, and Krishna didn't like it, then Pradyumna would somehow not like it. And if Krishna really liked something and it wasn't to the taste of Pradyumna, somehow Pradyumna would develop the taste and would be very, very keen. He was completely in sync. He's completely synchronized with the Lord's. It's actually very elevated, but people who don't understand, they think we're brainwashed or something like that. We're losing. We're not losing our individuality, we're just losing our false ego individuality, which is not something we want to hold on to anyway. Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Shri Radhasham Jai. We have the example of Lord Chaitanya's prohibiting Sanatana Goswami to commit suicide. Sanatana Goswami had very good spiritual reasons for doing it, although generally suicide is condemned and you become ghost or something. But he was, you know the story, he had these sores and Lord Chaitanya would always embrace him, and he couldn't keep himself from getting embraced by Lord Chaitanya, and so he consulted with, who is it, Jagadananda, who suggested, yeah, that's a good idea. He was going to go to the Rath Yatra and jump under the wheel. Please don't do that, any of you. But he was going to do it because he was so mortified of his offense against Lord Chaitanya. Of course, that was resolved. But then one of the preachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami at that point was, he said, you don't have the right to destroy this body. This body doesn't belong to you. This is mine. I have plans for this body. Very important plans. You have no right to take that away from me. So Lord Chaitanya was quite explicit. Another example, Srivas Thakur, his son dies during the kirtan. It's not like such a common event. Young boy, practically a baby, he just dies in another part of the house. And Srivas Thakur knew about this. And yet, he didn't say anything. He just continued the kirtan until Lord Chaitanya himself sensed that there was something amiss, there's something peculiar going on. And Lord Chaitanya, why didn't you tell me your son died? He said, oh my Lord, you were in ecstasy in the kirtan. I didn't want to disturb your bhav, your premika emotions in kirtan. Nice example, Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant. Many of you know this example. He was massaging the Lord's body. The Lord is sleeping, and he came, he stepped over the Lord in order to do his service. And he very nicely massaged the Lord's body. But the Lord was resting and kept resting, and then it came time for prasadam. And what did Govinda do? He just sat there. He wouldn't cross over the Lord's body. In other words, for the interest of the Lord, he was willing to risk some offense. Srila Prabhupada once told a very early lady, devotee, he said, for service you can step on my head. In other words, to do devotional service, not, we have to be careful, we can't, but just like that old lady in Chaitanya Leela, she stepped up on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder to see Lord Jagannath. Everyone got very disturbed by that. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I wish I had only a percentage of her enthusiasm, a fraction of her enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath. Because it was only for service, she just wasn't aware of where she was walking. So this Govinda, Lord Chaitanya said, why, you didn't get your prasadam when he woke up. He said, oh my Lord, how could I step over your transcendental body? And Lord Chaitanya said, but you stepped over my body to come in. So why didn't you just go get your prasadam? Why are you fasting? And Govinda said, my Lord, to perform service for you, that's one thing. But for my own sense gratification, I wouldn't do it. So you're getting the idea here. And there's so many examples we have of no separate interest. It gets more philosophical now as we go along. What about no separate vision? We'd be lost if we didn't have at least some sense of no separate vision. In other words, the whole idea of the Krishna conscious movement is to allow us to practice on the transcendental platform devotional service even while we're still, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, in the material tabernacle, and it's still on the platform of this material world. Now here in Vrindavan, we don't feel so much that we're in the material world, although sometimes we may see some symptoms. But here we are with the deities and this sacred place of Vrindavan. And we even see, Prabhupada even encouraged us to see even the monkeys and the ants and all living entities as very special. So this is a good example. And also we don't see separate. In other words, we see something, anashaktasya vishayan, what is it? Vunjana umpayunjataha nibandha krishna sambandhe krishna yukta vairagya uchate prapatti panchaya what is it? Buddha hari sambandhi vashtunaha mumukshubi parityago falgu vairagyam khatyate. So that's practical. We see, if we see things meant for Krishna's service and his pleasure, then even we can deal with so many things in this world, even household, everything, and still have no separate vision. And there's that wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Oh my Lord, everything, my family, my wealth, everything I have, my home, this is all yours, meant for your pleasure." Now what about, what's the problem? Say you say, no, I'm independent. I'm like, I have my own senses and I want to enjoy. I can work in this world and get money and enjoy my senses. Maybe I can give some donation to my church. But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is that people don't know what is their own self-interest. We have Bhakta Prahlad, famous verse, Nate Vidu Svartha Katim Hi Vishnu. They don't know their real interest is Vishnu or Krishna. So what's wrong with that? The problem is, if you don't have that focus, Vyavasyatmika Buddhi, that single-minded purpose, and understand there is an ultimate goal, and it's God. So simple. But if we don't have that, I like to use the word paradigm, if we don't have that worldview, if we don't have that orientation, then what happens? Durasya ye bahirartamaninaha andaya tandayupiyamanati pishu tantriyam urudamni padaha. Then therefore one becomes totally distracted by the external energy, bahirmaninaha, and vimukan is in other places is described. One turns away from the Lord. One forgets the Lord, buli. In Bengali it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and therefore Maya gives him all kinds of difficulties. There's quite a lot of disadvantages to thinking that my ultimate goal is something other than Krishna, or in thinking that really there is no ultimate goal, everybody just makes up his own goal. The philosophy of the existentialists, they see that everything is absurd because they can detect that everything's temporary and illusory in this world. So you have to just kind of make up some type of person for yourself, some kind of goal. They call it freedom, but actually it's bondage. Prabhupada also says that disturbance is due to lack of an ultimate goal. That's in that psychological verse in Bhagavad Gita. Nasti buddhira yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhava yata shantir ashanta shakutakshukam. Rhetorical question. How can there be happiness without peace? And how can there be peace if one's intelligence is like distracted by so many different goals? One needs to have an ultimate goal. And what are the social implications? We know the peace formula is there, but we can't have peace collectively until we're peaceful individually. So Bhagavad Gita also explains the peace formula for the individual. How's it go? Yukta karma phala sangam shantim apnoti naishtikim. One obtains shanti, peace. How is that? By giving up the results of one's activities. And it makes it very clear. It says, ayukta kama kardena phaleshato nibhajyate. That those who are not yukta, those who are not linked, those who don't have that common, that oneness of interest with the Lord, then they nibhajyate. They become bewildered, entangled in the complexities of Maya. And then the peace formula, Bhoktaram Jagyatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Gyatvamam Shantim Richtati. This is Prabhupada's, what you call it, panacea. It's the cure for all social problems. He even told crime and what to do. He was talking to that police chief in Chicago. This is in Science of Self-Realization. Just give us one stadium, that's all. And maybe give us some contribution so we can make lots of prasadam. And we'll have kirtan. And that will reduce crime. You could send all the criminals, all the people in the street, good citizens, bad, doesn't matter. Just fill up the stadium, we'll have kirtan, and I guarantee you the crime will reduce. I don't know if the police chief, he was impressed by Prabhupada, but I don't think he was able to arrange that, unfortunately. Yeah. Now, what I really wanted to discuss, these are all important topics, but we get very thick now into the philosophy of what is spirit, what is matter, how does that work, that there's no more material world, that the advanced devotee, he sees the material world as spiritual world. So there are a few points in this regard. There is, in the context of Maya, things have a beginning and an end. And we have in Bhagavad Gita 2.16, and it seems cut and dry. And in one book that the BBT published called Our Original Position, it's described that spirit and matter are the two fundamental ontological categories of the Vedas. In other words, these are irreducible tattvas. So that makes it very simple. But then, as we're describing, if you use things in Krishna's service, then things, they may still be temporary, but they participate in the eternal activity of devotional service. And Prabhupada would give the example, makes it very clear, analogies. What is that called? Chandra Shaka Nyaya. You see the moon through the branches of a tree, so analogies make things more easy to understand, which otherwise would be very difficult to understand. So what is the analogy? The iron rod and the fire. In one sense, we accept that the iron rod still has some characteristics of iron. You'll still see the shape. It's still hard, unless it gets really, really hot and melts. But say it goes up to red hot. And in one class, Prabhupada said, is it iron or is it fire? And someone looks at it and thinks it's still iron. Prabhupada said, well, touch it. Of course, you better have some first aid kit nearby. Take him to a burn clinic or something like that. Touch it, because the effect is the same as fire. The effect is the same as fire. So essentially, in a dynamic sense, everything could become spiritualized. Doesn't mean that therefore we... And devotees actually thought Prabhupada was so, in every sense of the term, spiritual, that many of us, we couldn't conceive that Prabhupada would ever have to, quote, die, unquote. In other words, leave his body. We never thought that would happen, because Prabhupada was so powerfully spiritually, Krishna would always protect him. And there was some amazing interaction with Krishna at the end, in terms of his leaving the body. But the iron rod and the fire example is there. So there is still some characteristic, you might say, of matter. But essentially, at the heart of the issue, it's spirit. It's described, even the body of the pure devotee is spiritual. Therefore, in Upadeshamrita, it says one should not criticize if a devotee has a defective body, maybe sickly or have some scar or maybe missing an arm or whatever may be there. We have one wonderful devotee and he has only one leg. That doesn't mean he's any less of a Vaishnav than the rest of us who have two legs. Now, sometimes I give some example, like in Boston, and they say Boston. When those people in Boston, they say Boston. But Boston, Massachusetts, that's northeast USA. Prabhupada was driving the devotees on this road that goes along the Charles River that separates Boston from Cambridge, where you have Harvard University. It's called Starro Drive. Now it's not there anymore, but at that time they had this huge, at a certain corner there was a Coca-Cola bottling plant. Coca-Cola, everyone knows Coca-Cola, everywhere you go, Coca-Cola. So there was a big sign with the Coca-Cola in that typical logos, with that script writing, and it's a little bit unclear, but still you can see, ordinary vision, you see Coca-Cola. And Prabhupada looked, Chintamani. And there are other examples, like Lord Chaitanya, he sees sand dune, he says, Govardhan Hill in Jagannath Puri. So the nuance here is, what is the distinction between that and then hallucinatory visions? I can't say for sure if the great poet Allen Ginsberg was on LSD at the time, but it could have been. He wrote this one poem called Sunflower Sutra. And he says, the table is holy, the lamp is holy, the ceiling is holy, my notebook is holy, my hand is holy. It's a nice vision. He's seeing everything as sanctified, everything is spiritual. But it's not so cheap to have that vision, although it turned into a nice poem. Or in my own case, I had some problem. I don't want you to lose your faith in me, but this is back in 1966. I took this LSD and I lost control of everything. I went into some astral space or something. And they had to put me in the famous mental institution. Don't worry, I'm not the only devotee that was in that. Bellevue. So in the Bellevue, they would give us this stuff called Thorazine, some drug. Especially it was good for people who took LSD. It makes you a little more peaceful, or puts you in some nice tamagun, so you don't create so much disturbance. So about every 2-3 hours, they were announcing, medication, medication, and I thought they were saying meditation. So I would sit down and go, Om Hare Krishna, Om, Om, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I was doing something anyway. And then when I got a little bit better, they put me on the 7th floor, which is a little lighter, less security there. And I met Lord Buddha. I actually met Lord Buddha. And the two of us are walking back and forth and looking at each other and just laughing in a state of total euphoria. But then the next day, I went to see my friend Buddha. And he looked the part too. He was kind of heavy, and he was wearing a bed sheet as a robe. He really thought he was Buddha. I thought he was too. But then I saw Buddha in a straight jacket. That means they had him all tied up on a bed, and it was a very scary and traumatic for me to see that. So obviously there's a world of difference between having these artificial emotions of spirituality induced by some drug, or just one's own creative imagination, like in the case of the poet, or there may have been some drug there too, and the real thing. But in the real state, we say transcendental madness. It may be that from any kind of ordinary vision, that sign says Coca-Cola, and Prabhupada seeing Chintamani. So, it's a little mysterious, but there it is. There was one poet by the name of Rimbaud, and he wanted to become a visionary. He wanted to have these mystical visions. So his strategy was sense gratification. His idea was, if I just engage in total sense gratification of every type I can, including sex life, then I'll just start having mystical visions. It's a little like that Tantra yoga idea, some misunderstood. So these are all bogus. The essential thing, I think the most fertile source of enlightenment about this question about what is spirit and what is matter, and how when one becomes more advanced, everything becomes spiritual, or at least spiritualized. I always come back to Bhagavad Gita, text 24 in chapter 4, and the purport. It's so clear and so illuminating. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagno Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahmakarma Samad, Samadaya or Samadina? Samadaya? Samadina. Samadina. That the devotees of the Lord are sure to attain the spiritual kingdom. Why is that? Because of their full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the conclusion is absolute, spiritual, and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada reminds us that actually we are in the Paravyoma, we're in the spiritual sky. We're just covered by a cloud called the Mahatattva. And if we act in a truly spiritual fashion, then the Mahatattva no longer covers us over. Then we could experience that we are in the spiritual world. As Srila Prabhupada said, even in New York, what to speak of Vrindavan, he said, don't think you're in New York City, you're in Vaikuntha. So there is, it's not that you really have to go somewhere else, even though we say the material world is not our home, but just make it stop acting on us materially by not having a separate interest. Separate interest doesn't work. I mentioned there are disadvantages. Shoka, harsha, vayakroda, loba, moha, madanvitaha, mitogyantam napashanti, bhaver bhavam pritag drishaha. Pritag drishaha means separate interest. So in 10th canto, in the 4th chapter, I think 27th verse, it's described that those with a vision of differentiation, they're always afflicted by all these things. By fear, by greed, by madness, by anger, etc. Envy. That is because their whole program in life is to constantly counteract the immediate causes, because they have no sense of the ultimate cause, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, if we serve the cause of all causes, then all the secondary and tertiary causes, and they'll all be taken care of. There's another verse in Bhagavatam that describes that a man may be carrying a big load on his head and it becomes too heavy. So he takes the load, he puts it on the shoulder to lighten the burden on his head. Now it may be for a few moments he may feel, now it's a relief. But all he's really doing is taking the same problem and putting it somewhere else. He's not actually solving the problem. So that is what happens when we spend all our time constantly trying to counteract. Oh, I didn't get enough prestige, or I didn't get enough halava, or I didn't get enough, or I got too much service. Or I'm not saying that in extreme cases some adjustment is inappropriate. That's there. Temple managers, they have to be sensitive to this. But in general, we'll do much better in every way if we let go a little bit of this constant, you know, trying to tune the material nature so it works for me. So-called New Age people, they say, does it work for you? Whatever, you know, path you have. Better we focus on the root cause. Of course, root cause means forgetting Krishna. That's why we're here in this material world. But also the root cause of everything. Root cause of both spirit and matter. Janma dasya yataha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think I'll just read the text once more, and then maybe we have a few minutes for questions. King Maliyadvaj could thus observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. That verse from, what is it? Mundaka Upanishad, Dva Suparna Sayuja Shakaya etc. The Lord and the living entity are compared to two birds sitting in a tree. While the illusion living entity eats the fruits of the material world, the Lord is the supersoul and best friend witnesses these activities. Abhichakshiti. Anashnan, he doesn't eat. The other bird doesn't eat. He just witnesses. Now in the case of King Maliyadvaj, he could see that other bird. And he also was able to pay attention to the other bird, who's the supersoul, rather than be distracted by trying to enjoy the fruits of the people tree that most of us, unfortunately, are still more or less trying to do. I shouldn't say most of us, at least my own case, we still have these residual tendencies, fruitive tendencies. So I'll stop now. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Does anyone have a particular question that Maharaj? Or, no? Shankarshan Prabhu? Is there a microphone, as usual?
Maharaj, in the fourth point, you were saying what is wrong with the separate vision. So I have a comment and then a question also. In the Kapil Siksha, the third canto, the danger of separate vision explained as the devotion serving is the mode of ignorance and eventually passion. So with a separate vision, even with devotion service is impure. Ultimately, devotion service has to be at the Vishuddha level, completely pure. So one of the dangers of this separate vision is that our devotion service will remain at a lower level.
I think separate vision is particularly in passion, devotional service influenced by the mode of passion.
Yes. Okay. So that was a comment. And the question is, in the third point, when you're explaining no separate vision, the key point of the purport also is Yukta Vairagya. So my question is, how do we draw the fine line and again guard against the dangers and pitfall of the so-called Yukta Vairagya? I might be sitting in a holy dham and I may think that I need a big mansion here to perform my devotional service. Or even when I become a sannyasi, I may think I need a competent female secretary to increase my devotional service. So how do we draw the fine line and how do we guard against that?
It's all a question of sincerity. One could use everything in Krishna service if one is accustomed to like Ambarish Prabhu in 1975, I remember he came to Boston with Shruta Kirti. And it was just natural for him. He didn't like look and rent a room near the temple. He just bought a house. And so it was no problem. He just bought a house near the temple. I don't know what he did with the house after. But so if one is used to living like that and you're doing it for devotional service, he bought the house not to enjoy the house but just to be able to. They were going to start a restaurant, and unfortunately it never happened, but they were seriously planning how to start a first-class restaurant in a very good neighborhood in Boston. So it's a question of sincerity. It's not the, again, the basic point in devotional service, and not so much the activity itself, but it's the desire, it's the goal of the activity, it's your purpose in that activity. Of course we shouldn't, sometimes it's good to be honest. Instead of saying, Yukta Vairagya, it's good, maybe it's better to say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm still attached. And be honest and not try to put the band-aid on it, saying, okay, it's Yukta Vairagya. There may be, you know, things that are really, like maybe I really don't need a $6,000 laptop computer that goes a million gigabytes a second or something like that. Maybe I really don't need it. So better to admit that I'm doing it because I'm in Maya. I'm doing it because I'm still attached, I'm too fascinated by these toys, and maybe I can dovetail it, but rather than think oneself that I could just do any damn thing and just say it's your devotion. So honesty, we have to be honesty. Truthfulness, it's a basic brahminical quality, to be truthful with ourselves. Is that all right? Okay, anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, when Lord Vishnu looks on Pradhana, it becomes Prakriti. So and
Lord Krishna looks at what?
When he looks at pradhana, non-differentiated matter. It becomes prakriti. But when Lord does not look, it becomes pradhana again, non-differentiated matter. So does it mean that if Lord does not pay attention to some energy of pradhana, it we cannot see or we cannot observe it by our senses? And what is the role of Sadashiva, a look of Vishnu?
Yeah, well, I won't answer the question of Sadashiva because I'm not very expert in that subject, but just in general philosophical understanding is that, yes, like Queen Kunti, she saw all the opulence of the Pandavas and the Kurus of Vrishnis as simply because the Lord glanced upon them. She saw the kingdom was beautiful because the Lord's footprints were in that kingdom. But if the Lord would leave, then it would no longer be beautiful. And it would no longer be opulent. She was convinced of that. Therefore, she, not that she wanted to be opulent, but she wanted Krishna. So she was hoping the misfortunes would happen again and again, so Krishna would always be there to protect them. This idea of the Iksha, Mayad Dakshina Prakriti, Shuyate Sa Characharam, a famous verse in the 9:10 it is, in Bhagavad Gita. So yes, everything requires, in that sense, that's another vindication, that's another support for the idea that we shouldn't reject the material world, because it does have a connection with the Lord. Even if we say the Lord doesn't directly interact in the material world, but he casts his glance upon it. You can say Shambhu, that's okay, but it's still coming from the Lord. And he injects us into the material world at the time of creation, along with time and I think the karmic information as well. And then the material world, it's almost like waking up the lady from sleep. And the material world becomes agitated and everything starts moving, and then here we are. Of course, we're in Vrindavan. So I think we just leave it like that for now, and we can... Did I answer at least part of your question? Not so much. A little bit. Okay, we have a very limited time frame. Okay, last question or comment? Yes, you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. I had a doubt from my reading yesterday. Can I ask that?
You had a doubt from...
My reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita from yesterday. Can I ask that?
Ask?
Okay. I'll just read and then I'll ask the question. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested himself to show that cultivation of love for Krishna in separation is the easiest way of success for all living entities. Despite this fact, there are some theosophists who declared that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such cultivation is easy for him but difficult for the living entity, and that one can therefore approach Krishna in any way he likes. To nullify this idea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated practically how one can achieve love of Krishna by adopting Srimati Radharani's mood in separation from Krishna. So this line,
you know,
how
some people say that because Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what did you read right after that?
Such cultivation is easy for him but difficult for the living entity, and that one can therefore approach Krishna in any way he likes.
And one can
approach Krishna
in any way
he likes. So this I am not able to understand. How Lord Chaitanya is saying it's easy and people are saying that no, it is difficult for the living entities. How these two facts are related?
Well, it's obviously a lot easier for Lord Chaitanya to be in complete rapture of love of God than it is for the conditioned soul. We have to work on it. We have to cultivate it. At the same time, spiritual life is a science. It's a science of bhakti yoga. We can't just concoct any method. First we learn sambandha and then abhideya, the proper method. And yes, there's certainly scope for individuality. You all experience the guru instructs us according to our condition. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nigraha Kim Kadishyati, What can repression accomplish? Sadrisham chaste tesva, etc. Even a learned man follows his nature. Why is it? Because everybody follows their nature. What can repression accomplish? So the spiritual master will certainly respect that we have, just like Dhruva, that whole thing, couldn't accept the first instruction from Narada Muni because he wasn't Brahman, he was Kshatriya. So that's there, but we have to do everything under the order of Guru, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We can't just concoct our own idea, take some drug like LSD and we'll have these amazing visions and end up in a mental institution, or that's not so such. I wouldn't recommend it, let's put it like that. Of course, when I came out of the mental institution, I went right to Prabhupada. And I walked up in his apartment. He looked at me, he smiled. And he said, "Oh, now you look very nice." Because in the hospital, they cut off all my big hairs. The seeker didn't happen quite yet. I don't even know it. I didn't know. All right, so thank you all so much for your kind attention. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tako Premananda Hari Om.